think between what we'll get to in Mirat Hashem at the end of the summer and where we're up to right now, let's talk about tshuva. I know it's probably not the first thing on everyone's mind right now. I imagine many of us are still kind of hoping that Yom Noram don't creep up on us, which they will, and they rapidly will approach. But the truth is, you look in the Svarim, look in the deeper Svarim, the Svarim say that Chodesh Tammuz is really a Zman of Tshuva. And the Parshas that we've been reading, the Parshas we read throughout the month of Tammuz, are Parshas that I think are deeply related to Tshuva. The Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe, the sixth Ger Rebbe, one time stopped a young Avreich, I guess in the streets of Yerushalayim, and he said to him, it was Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and he said to him, did you get the invitation? Did you receive the Hazmana? So he's thinking, Hazmana? Did I get the Hazmana? Did I get the invitation? What invitation is the Rebbe? He's thinking, is the Rebbe making a chasna? Why? And the Rebbe is concerned about me, a simple young kolel man, you know, learning in Yerushalayim. Did I get the Hazmana? It was Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. So he says, did you get the invitation? Did you get the Hazmana? So the fellow says to the Rebbe, says to the Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe, I don't know, a wedding, a simcha coming up. And the Pnei Menachem looked at him, he looked him in the face, and he said, it's 3 months to the Yom HaDin. He said, Beis Din is already sending out, you know, warnings. Did you get the Hazmana? Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, it's time to start thinking about tshuva. And again, I'll be honest, I went easy on you this year by not telling you about this earlier. Because if you look in the biography of Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, believe it or not, Ha'ish al-Achoma, it's in English also. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, on the second day of Sivan already, which is referred to as Yom HaMeyuchas, it was the day that Klal Yisrael and Hashem decided they were going to try to go ahead with the Shidduch. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, on the second day of Sivan, on the Yom HaMeyuchas, he would tell people, he would announce, just realize that in 18 weeks from today, it's going to be Yom Kippur. Okay, Shkoyach, thank you so much. Just what I need. Now again, hopefully if we have a proper understanding of Yom Kippur, we're excited for Yom Kippur, we're not afraid of Yom Kippur, we're excited for the opportunity of tshuva, we're not afraid of the opportunity of tshuva. Okay, so we decided to push off through Sivan, and now we're in Chodesh Tammuz, and it's time to get serious. Tammuz, Av, Elul, these are all Zmanim of tshuva. We think in our heads, many people think, that Elul is the Zman of tshuva. So first of all, tshuva is a mitzvah every single day of the year. That's the first thing I want to point out. Tshuva is one of the 613 mitzvahs, which is equally applicable in Cheshvan and any other month than it is in Elul or Tishrei. That's the first thing we need to think about. One of the tzaddikim once said, he said, it's a machlokas when we start to blow shofar. Do we start to blow shofar? Let's say you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh El. So one, right? One is really the last day of Av, and one is really Rosh Chodesh El. So it's a machlokas. Do we blow the shofar on the first day of Rosh Chodesh, or do we blow the shofar on the second day of Rosh Chodesh? But one of the tzaddikim, I think it was the Papa Rav, is where I saw it. He said, but there's no machlokas that already on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul we do tshuva. That's not a machlokas. Why don't we start blowing shofar? It's a technicality. Certainly, as soon as Elul comes, we're really thinking about tshuva. But again, the Sfarim tell us, Tammuz is also a Zman of tshuva. And Chodesh Av is also a Zman of tshuva. And we don't have to wait to Chodesh Elul to wake up, which is already that feeling of we're in a big rush to try to get ourselves ready for Rosh Hashanah. It's okay for us to start preparing now. Kadmonim bring a remez to this idea in source number one. Kadmonim bring, found in early sources, I'm not sure what the earliest sources, found in a variety of places, that Tammuz is Rosh Tevos Zmanei Tshuva Memashmashim Ubad. That the time for Tshuva is rapidly approaching. Tshuva is starting to take on. Right now, it makes sense also that as we enter into the summer months, it's kedai to be in a mindset of tshuva. I think I don't need to convince anyone that the summer is a more carefree time and people get themselves into trouble. And therefore, a person who has a tshuva mindset through the summer will be a little more cautious, a little more guarded, and probably do a few less averos. But Tammuz is a zman of tshuva. What stops people from doing tshuva? That's what I want to talk about tonight. What's one of the hardest aspects of doing tshuva? I think, for any person who's ever engaged in the tshuva process, the hardest part in doing tshuva is to actually believe that the action that I've done, or the thing that I said, or the thought that I had, has truly been erased. Meaning, if we look at every avera as having two components to it, we're going to explain it in a moment. If we look at every avera as having two components to it, what are the two components to every avera? There's the fact that I went against Hashem. I did something wrong, so I get an X in Shemayim on my scorecard. But there's also the physical reality of what I've done. There's a tumah that comes with an avera. So my body was engaged in a particular behavior, so now that tumah has affected my body. So I might be able to believe that Hashem is willing to what? Is willing to adjust my scorecard, to change my point calculation in Shemayim. But the bottom line is, this body was osik in certain things. And this speech was used for certain things that were negative. And this brain had certain thoughts which were negative. And that's hard for me to imagine that never happened, because I know it did happen. I think for many people that's a very hard aspect of tshuva. To get over the fact and to truly believe that I've truly undone, ki'ilu, it never ever happened. That wasn't me. It never happened. Mamish never happened. Not in my lifetime, not with this body, not with these choices. I never did such a thing. I think that's a very hard thing for people to come to terms with. So let's learn an essay from Rav Elchanan Wasserman, or part of an essay from Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Rav Elchanan Wasserman has an essay, it's in the first volume of the Kovetz Ma'amarim on page 21 and 22, and he's discussing the Mesilas Yesharim's comment on tshuva. What is the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal, in the 1700s, what does the Ramchal say in the fourth parak about tshuva? The Ramchal says, tshuva is an unbelievable gift. Let's not be frightened that we're getting started with the tshuva process in Talmud. Tshuva is a great present that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. V'sha'at tshuva tinasein l'chotim b'chesed gamar. Writes the Mesilas Yesharim, tshuva was given to sinners as a tremendous gift. Hashem doesn't owe us tshuva. We should never feel that Hashem owes us tshuva. Shetachshav akiras haratzon ka'akiras hamasa. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to consider the uprooting of our desire, meaning my wish, my hope to undo it, makes it ka'akiras hamasa, as if I never did it. That's very interesting. That's a big gift. Lamaisa, you did it. Let's not deceive ourselves here. You did it. You did the Avera. So now you say, well, I feel bad about it. That's nice. So Hashem might be able to say, I forgive you, but to be able to erase the Avera as if it never happened, that's a big gift. When a person recognizes the Avera, and he confesses to it, and he contemplates Mizbonin al Ra'aso, he thinks about how bad that is. Vishavu mischari talav charata gumura. And he expresses terrible regret for doing what he did. To be able to uproot it, that is an unbelievable thing. That it can completely erase the Aveira is a remarkable thing. And he concludes the paragraph, the end of source 2, V'zeh chesed v'adai she'ena mishura tzadin. Hashem doesn't owe us. Hashem does not owe us such a gift. It's lifnim mishura tzadin. It goes way beyond the letter of the law, what could be expected of a normal arrangement. It's a tremendous gift. Says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, why is it such a big gift? I would argue, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, the student of the Chafetz Chaim, that it's exactly in accordance with the law. That we have precedent for this. Again, the Mesilas Yesharim is making it out to be that if you have regret and you're able to undo an action, that's an unbelievable thing. That's Lefnim Mishuras Adin. Says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, why should that's not true. We have a very clear precedent, and we can, all the more so when we apply it positively to tshuva, as we'll see, to say that regret should undo one's actions. What's the example that Rav Elchanan points to? He points to a Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Mem, in source number 3, quotes of all people, Rishon Bar Yochai and Reish Lakish, people whose Mamari Chazal, their teachings throughout Shas, are often tshuva related. Reish Lakish, of course, was a tremendous Baal tshuva. Reshum Beruchai was from a base medrash of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir, people who were always trying to be mechazik bali tshuva. Reshum Beruchai says the following: Afilu tzadik gomer kol yamav. Even if you lived a life of righteousness your whole life, kamat your whole life, umarad ba'achrona, and at the end of your life you rebelled, ibeid es rishonos, you've lost everything that you've done up to that point. So Gemara says, whoa, hold on a second. You're telling me that just because I went off the derech, so for 75 years I lived the life of an Erlich Yid, and then at 75 years something snapped in my brain and all of a sudden I became a Rasha for the last couple of years of my life. So now all of a sudden everything I did is undone. Why should my mitzvot be taken away? Let's imagine half my life I lived a righteous life and half my life I lived a bad life. So why Ibn Asar? Why do I lose my first half of my life? Says the Gemara, V'nehavi kamechsa avonus v'mechsa zechuyos. Let it be 50-50. Meaning let him get credit for what he did right and let him be punished for what he did wrong. Since when do we say that one cancels out the other? Answers Reish Lakish, of all people, answers the Gemara, B'toa al Rishonos. What does Toa al Rishonos mean? When you regret it. When you say, I regret doing mitzvahs. I want to be such a Baal Avera that not only do I want to do Averos from this point forward, but I'm annoyed that I wasted my time in my younger years doing mitzvahs. I regret doing mitzvahs. So regretting doing mitzvahs apparently does what? Says Rashi in source number 4, Toa mischare ta kol tovos sha'asa. He regrets all the good things that he did. And now, says the Gemara, he loses everything. So by regretting the good actions that you did, you lose all of your good actions. So says Rav Chana Wasserman, al achas kama v'kama. If I regret all the bad things I did, so then I should be able to erase negativity with regret. Hashem is always trying to help us more than he's trying to harm us. That's an operating principle of Judaism. So if Hashem is willing to take away my mitzvos because I regret doing mitzvos, so then certainly Hashem, by the letter of the law, not lifnim mishur asadin, apparently this is a mechanism by which a person has regret and it undoes action. Which part of it is lifnim mishur asadin? That's Rav Chanan Wasserman's question. So Rav Chanan quotes an answer from the Chavetz Chaim, which he's not convinced fits with the words of Mesillas Yesharim. He argues with his rabbi slightly. And then Rav Chanan says, I'll tell you what I think the answer is. And I sort of told you the answer already. He quotes a Ramchal, same author as the Mesillas Yesharim. He quotes Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzatu in the Derech Hashem, in the fourth section, where the Ramchal says, like I told you before, that every Avera has two aspects to it. Every Avera has two aspects to it. There's the aspect of what? The aspect that I didn't listen to God. And there's a scorecard in Shemayim. There's a scoreboard in Shemayim. That's one aspect to every Avera. Am I going to get a check or an X in my scorecard in Shemayim? And then there's the reality of how the negative behavior has affected me and has affected the world around me. So again, which part can be erased simply by having regret, by saying, I'm sorry? Says Rav Chana Wasserman, maybe the Mesillas Yesharim means that when I say I'm sorry, that can erase the scorecard in Shemayim. Hashem says, I'll forgive the X that you did, right? I'm not upset that you went against me anymore. But the bottom line is, the cheeseburger that, let's use the example of treifus, right, of tarfus. You ate a cheeseburger. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you did something very bad, and also now your body has been infused with the tumah of the cheeseburger. So Hashem says, okay, the letter of the law says you feel bad, so I'll clean the scorecard. I'll say, okay, I forgive you for violating my command. But the bottom line is, your flesh, your blood, right? Your fat is still infused with what? With cheeseburger. That's not erasable. Says the Mesillas Yesharim, Lifnim Mishur HaSadin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to erase that as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows Lifnim Mishur HaSadin, this deep cleansing process, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu erases every trace of having done that aver. That's an amazing thing. And I think that's the part that we struggle with. I think we have a heart, I think we believe that we can adjust our scorecard. I think we believe that we could say sorry and Hashem could say, okay, I forgive you. I'm not going to punish you. In Shemayim, I had marked down that you deserve the following punishment. Okay, I'm not going to give you that punishment. But you're still a lowlife for doing those things. Lamaisa, you still did those things, right? I can't change your body. I can't transform your body. Says Mesillas Yesharim, yes, Hashem can. Hashem goes, Lefnim Mishur HaSadin, gives us a chesed where he's willing to erase and cleanse us. Again, the deep cleansing that completely, completely uproots any trace of that event. So how does that work? How does that work? And I think if we look at the parshios that we read in Chodesh Tammuz, each one of these parshios gives us a little chizuk in this idea. I would say that the basic principle by which the whole thing operates is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to look beyond the way that we see things. Hashem is able to identify the truest part of ourself, and at the truest part of ourself, the truth is there never was an Avera. At the depths, at the core of the Jew, we see ourselves superficially. So I see my body, and I see how my body has been tainted. And I see how my averos have affected my life and my reality. Hashem looks much deeper beyond that. Hashem sees beyond the surface, And by seeing beyond the surface, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what it really means. Hashem identifies the part of ourself that never became dirtied. And Lifnim Bishuras HaDin, he allows us to, you know, that to be the definition of me. And he puts aside the part of me that is sullied with sin. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to look deeper. And that's what these parshios tell us. What are the parshios that we read during Chodesh Tammuz? So this year, in the month of Tammuz, we read Korach, Chukas, Balak, and Pinchas. Now the truth is, we don't have time for everything in the little bit of time that we have. We're going to focus, I guess, primarily on this past week's Parsha Korach, and this coming week's Parsha, this week's Parsha of Chukas. Maybe we'll throw in a little Balak at the end. The truth is, you could argue. You could say Shlach is the Shabbos that leads into Rosh Chodesh, Tammuz. Or you could say Pinchas is really the fourth one of Tammuz because we actually read it in the month of Tammuz. And each one of them I can make the case for what I'm trying to say tonight, which is that there's a message of something pure in a parshios that superficially are filled with sins. Shlach, big mistake. Korach, big mistake. Chukas, Moshe hits the rock, big mistake. Right? Balak, there's plenty of moments where it looks like we're seeing Klai Yisrael at their worst. But Lamaisa, with deep perspective, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us and inviting us, again, in the month of Tammuz, to engage in the tshuva process by identifying the part of ourselves that's really the best. And you need that contrast of seeing us at our worst to identify ourselves at our best. Okay, so let's go back to Korach for a minute. And let's learn a nice piece of Torah from Yismach Yisrael. In Parshas Korach, the Parsha begins in source number 5. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi. Who's missing? Keep going, right? Ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi ben Yaakov. Vidasan Raviram ben Eliav. Vaon ben Pelas ben Reuven. Why did we stop one short of Yaakov? Says Rashi in source number 6, the beginning of Parshas Korach. Lo Hizkir ben Yaakov. Yaakov is not mentioned because Yaakov, years earlier in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov inu davened Hashem, please, I know in the future there's going to be a Korach, and I don't want to be associated with it. Shebikish rachamim al atzmo, shel yizkar shemo al machlokosim. I don't want to be part of this machlokas. Yaakov said, I don't want to have anything to do with the machlokas of Korach. Shenemar, bikalom al techad kvodi. In their gathering, in their assemblage, Korach, right? Vadaso, al techar kvodi. I don't want myself to be identified there. Techar. I don't want to have a makom miyuchad there. I don't need a special place there. So I'll ask you a very simple question. It kind of reminds me of the Chavetz Chaim's approach to people getting an aliyah during the tochacha. Right? The Chavetz Chaim writes that some people don't like to get the aliyah of the tochacha. Okay, it's understandable. Pretty frightening psukim. No one wants to be summoned to the Torah for that. In Parshas Bechukosai, in Parshas Kisavo. The Chavetz Chaim writes, in Hilchos Tanios is where he writes it, the Chavetz Chaim says, and some shuls skip over the tocha. They're so scared of it, they skip over the tocha. So the Chavetz Chaim said, that's ridiculous. That's like a person who decides that he's nervous about something, right? He's scared to walk in a particular area which is dangerous, so he closes his eyes. Well, now it's doubly dangerous because you can't even see where you're going. Closing your eyes doesn't make it go away. So Yaakov Avinu covers his eyes and says, I don't want to be associated with Korach. Too bad, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov has a son whose name is Levi. Levi has a son whose name is Kahas. Kahas has a son whose name is Yitzhar. And Yitzhar has a son whose name is Korach. So it's very nice, Yaakov Avinu, that you don't want your name to be in this pasuk, but that doesn't change the reality that Korach is one of your descendants. You can't undo the fact that Korach is a descendant of Yaakov. The Yismach Yisrael, which I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I've been very busy. This happens to be an old Yismach Yisrael that I know, but it happens to be I've been very busy with the Sefer because Amir Tzashem in YU this year, that's going to be our Chasidus Sefer for the Parsha each week. This year we learned Kedushas Levi, next year is Yismach Yisrael. So the Rebbe of Alexander, the Yismach Yisrael, in his writings on Yud Bez Elo, he writes a teaching that he heard from the Rebbe of Vorki. The Rebbe of Vorki asked our question. Right? Yaakov Avinu Davind, Bisodom Al Tavo Nafshi, I'm in source number 7 in the fourth line. Uvekaalam Al Techad Kvodi, I don't want to be a part of their gathering. I don't want to be associated with Korach. Peirush Rashi's Alek, we just read. It doesn't say Ben Yaakov because he doesn't want to be connected to it. Okay, very nice. You don't want it to be connected to. That's great. So says the Rebbe of Orki. He says, I heard from the Rebbe of Amshinov, B'shem, the Rebbe of Orki, right? The Yaakov didn't want to be a part of it. So he writes three lines from the bottom of the right column in source 7. V'halo zil kare beravhu. Zil kare beravhu is a Talmudic term which means go to school, kid. Go get an education. What if it doesn't say Yaakov? We don't know that Levi's the son of Yaakov. We know Levi's the son of Yaakov. Right? Zil, go, kari beirav, go learn in beirav, go to yeshiva. Everyone knows, Yaakov, you can't hide Yaakov Avinu. We know that you're part of this. So what does it mean Yaakov says, I don't want to be a part of this? And he says a beautiful pshat. And it's a fundamental pshat. Again, Yaakov Avinu's reminder to us that no matter how bad it gets sometimes, no matter how divisive it gets sometimes, no matter how much destruction comes to the world sometimes, and Korach certainly did his fair share, right? But there's always a part that remains untouched. That's what Yaakov was davening. I don't want Korach's sin to reach down to the nekuda of Yisrael, of Yaakov. I don't want it to touch the essence of a Jew. I want the Avera to remain superficial. And even if it penetrates from Korach to Yitzhak to Kos to Levi, but I don't want it to get to the nekuda of Yaakov. I don't want to get it to the essence of a Jew. Ela ha-peirishu. Dine Yaakov Avinu Olav Hashalom Hu Abriach Hatichon Amavriach Mikotze Lakotze Besoch Klal Bnei Yisrael. The Zohar Kadosh says that Yaakov Avinu is the middle beam, so to speak. The one that spans from one end to the other end. Which means Yaakov Avinu is a wall, is a beam, right? Is a pillar that holds us up from end to end. It's the part of the building that's the strongest and the firmest and will never collapse, even if other parts start to crumble. That's the backbone, so to speak, of Klal Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu. V'zeh ha'yetfilaso, shelo yagia shum pegam v'shemetz l'chelko. So Yaakov davened, of course Yaakov says, I know I'm part of this family. And Korach's doing a pretty significant avera. But I don't want the avera, Hashem, I'm begging you, don't let the avera touch the essence of the Jew. Let the avera stay on the surface. Please don't allow it to touch my chelik. Umechelko yuchol kol ish lahaliv shvive zikeh Yisraeli, and then a Jew will have that part that remains unscathed, untouched, and then a Jew can get back to his roots. He can go back to his shoresh. He can go back to the Yaakov or the Yisrael who he is at his core. Ula ora, and to reawaken it. Ula zakos al yado l'tshuva shlema, and then to rebuild himself. That's what Yaakov Avinu was davening. Hashem, please allow a part of myself, no matter how many mistakes I make, to remain perfectly pure. And if we know that we have such a point inside of ourselves, it's much less frightening to rebuild ourselves. If I feel that my body is totally tamei from head to toe, and I need to rely on this lifnim mishur sadin that the Mesilas Yesharim is telling us, that Hashem is willing to scrub you from head to toe to cleanse you, it's much harder to believe that. But if I can identify a part of myself which is the truest part of myself, the essence of myself, and show you that the essence remained pure, the essence was never damaged, so then I can mamish rebuild. V'zeh omram zal, that's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Daf Mem Dalet. Afal pi shechata Yisrael hu. Even when a Jew does an Aveira, he's still Yisrael. His essence remains untouched. Korach could cause, again, a reverberation, an earthquake, that it reaches all the way down back to Yitzhar, back to Kahas, back to Levi, but it doesn't reach Yaakov. It doesn't touch that Nakuda called Yaakov. That part remains untouched. Hainu Shechelek Yisrael Oden Bekirbo Va'adon Lo Nichbe Legami Chas V'Shalom. And that point remains untouched. Va'yideze Nuchel Lezakos L'Tshuva Shleim. And again, from that point, a person is able to rebuild. That Nakuda of Yaakov Avinu remains pure forever. That's the message that we got, one of the messages that we got in last week's Parsha, Parsha's Korach. I had this chus, I gave a shir in Long Island this past Sunday, and I wasn't really prepared to give the shir in the way that I like to give a shir, although I was very excited about this shir, and it wasn't recorded, and I want to give it again, but I'm going to have to wait till next year, Parsha's Korach, to give it again. It's too much, I thought about giving it tonight, it's too much Korach and Talmud together, but it was too much Korach to ignore Parsha's Chukah, so I decided to pass it up. But I want to just mention one thing that's really remarkable. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe spoke about this in a different way, but it also relates to Korach Chukas Balak. Some of the Svarim HaKadoshim point out, very interesting. Take a look. Korach starts with a kuf. Three letters and it starts with a kuf. Chukas, the middle letter is a kuf. Balak, also three letters, it ends with a kuf. Three parshas in a row where the kuf is moving around. The Svarim HaKadoshim talk about that. Let's just look at Korach for a second. Because Korach is really the first parsh we read this year in Chodesh Tammuz. Which means the story of Korach, and there's so much to talk about there, Korach's possibility of tshuva, when you would think Korach is long gone and can't do tshuva, but Korach in some ways is the ultimate story of tshuva. Again, not for now, we're not going to go into the whole thing right now, but I wanted to show you one interesting thing. What is the letter of tshuva? What is the letter of tshuva? In the Aleph Beis, what is the letter of tshuva? Hey. Okay, Avi Meiri says hey, Yoni says hey. Anyone else want to take the two of them on? It's a powerful duo. I wouldn't be so quick to challenge them. Why hey? Okay, these Gemara and Menachos. The Gemara and Menachos says, right, that that the world is created with the letter hey. And it's a message to the Baal Tshuva. If you fall out the bottom, the hey is a big opening on the bottom, you can come back up around the side and enter through the side of the hey. You can come back around and enter through the side of the hay. Okay. Fine. Interesting. The Gemara says, why can't you just go back in through the big door that you fell out? You fell at the bottom of the hay, so why can't you go back in that same way? So the Gemara says, because it's more likely you'll get yourself into the same trouble. It's good to find a different derech, go around the side, go through the small opening. Okay. If you look at Korach's name, it's a gevaldik ha'ar. If you look at Korach's name, each of the three letters of Korach's name is a corrupted letter hey. It's an imperfect letter hey. As if to say, Korach can't do tshuva. Right? The Korach va'adaso, there's no tshuva. That happens to be Rabbi Eliezer in the Gemara. In the Gemara Sanhedrin, says, no, even by Korach there's tshuva. Rabbi Eliezer is also a whole sugya to talk about why Dafka Rabbi Eliezer says that. And the pasuk that he brings from Chana, who's a descendant of Korach, Chana the mother of Shmuel, Korach saw Shmuel in his future. There's a lot going on there. Right? But look at Korach's letters. Kuf, Resh, Ches. Each one is a messed up hay. Kuf is a hay with a leg that's a little bit too long. Resh has part of the hay, but is missing the additional piece of the hay. And Ches, maybe the most painful of the three, is the letter hay with the window that was meant to be left open for the Baal Tshuva on the side, closed up. As if to say, you have no place here. Interesting, if you look in Sefer Yetzirah, every month has a letter that's associated with it. What is the letter for the month of Tammuz? The letter Ches, which is very frightening. The letter Ches stands for Chet. The letter Ches is a letter Hey with the door closed, as if to say there's no hope for you to do tshuva. The name of Hashem in the Sefer Yetzirah, not really, in Sefer Yetzirah doesn't bring the names. The name of Hashem that the Bnei Yisachar brings from other earlier Svarim of Kabbalah, right, the name of Hashem for the month of Tammuz, because every month has a name of Hashem associated with it, an arrangement of Hashem's name associated with it. The name of Hashem for the month which we find ourselves is God's name backwards. Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud. Hashem's name turned totally backwards, which means Midas Hadin. Hashem has turned his back on us. It's a letter Ches, which is Chet, which is sin. Chet Chato Yerushalayim, as we say in Eicha, which hopefully we'll never say again. And the side, that window, for the Baal Tshuva has been closed up. So Korach's name itself, Kuf Resh Ches, is a very painful name, which implies that there can't be Tshuva. And of course, the Avoda is that when it looks like there's no Tshuva, is to find a way to do Tshuva. Now coming back to our Parshios, Korach is a Kuf, Chukas has a Kuf in the middle, and Balak has a Kuf in the end. There's a very strong relationship between the letter Kuf and the letter Hey. Those are the two letters that look perhaps most similar. And the Bnei Yisachar talks about it in his writings to Chodesh Adar, because Chodesh Adar is the month that's associated with the letter Kuf. Right? Kuf is really just the letter Hey with a long leg called Hamosif Goreh, as the Gemara says. Sometimes adding on takes away. And therefore, the Kuf at the beginning of Korach and the Kuf in the middle of Chukas and the Kuf at the end of Balak, right? Makes it seem like as we're trying to find the hay, we're trying to get to the hay, the clock just keeps moving forward and it's still a kuf. We're not able to get to that hay that we're trying to get to. We're not able to achieve tshuva. That's the superficial presentation of these parashios. Big averos, meraglim, right? Korach va'adaso, Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock, or whatever happened in this week's parsha, which we're about to talk about. These are parshas of big mistakes. Pinchas, the end of Balak, what happens with Cosby and Zimri, till Pinchas finally takes a stand. These are rough parshios. These are really, really difficult parshios. And yet, the pnimius, this is a zman of tshuva. It's a time to get ourselves ready for the Yom HaDin. And therefore, again, turning back to Korach for a second, says the Yismach Yisrael, don't be fooled by the fact that Korach's sin was very, very deep. Mamish to the depths. Korach was literally in Sheol Tachtis, in the pits of hell, swallowed up by the earth. And yet Yaakov Inu says, Korach's not going to touch my Nakuda. He may reach deep into Yitzhar, to Kahas, to Levi, but Yaakov said, Bekalam, al techad kvodi. My neshama, kvodi means my neshama. My neshama is not going to be tainted by the averas of Korach. Let's come to this week's parsha and get some further chizuk for doing tshuva. In this week's parsha, of course, probably the very sad moment that we think about, maybe the saddest moment, especially for someone who works so hard for so many years on behalf of Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Moshe and Aaron being told, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. What exactly happened? There are many, many opinions, much more than we have time for right now. But let's just read the Pesukim in source number 8. Vayare Moshe es yado, Moshe lifted his hand. Vayach es hasela b'mateyu pa'amayim. And he struck the rock not only once, but twice. According to Rashi, maybe that was the chait. Vayetsu mayim rabim. And plenty of water emerged, as Hashem predicted. Now the problem was, according to Rashi, Hashem said to Moshe, what? Dibartem el hasela, speak to the rock. And part of the reason Moshe got confused is, in Sefer Shemos, he was told to hit the rock. And furthermore, Hashem, if you don't want me to hit the rock here, why'd you say, take the staff and speak to the rock? What do I need the staff for? Very misleading. Right? Oh, good. So many, many, many shitas. Many, many shitas. The bottom line is, something went wrong. And in Pasuk Yud Beis, in source number 8, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron, Ya'an lo ha'amantem bi, because you failed to believe in me, lakdisheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael, to sanctify me in the eyes of B'nai Yisrael, lachein lo saviu as kala zeh el ha'aretz asher nasati lahem. You've lost the opportunity to take Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Okay? What went wrong? We've heard many different shitas, but I want to focus on the opinion of the Rambam as quoted by the Ramban. And the Ramban is critical of the Rambam. We're going to try to defend the Rambam a little bit. So let's take a look on the second side of the page. The Ramban writes, Hachet b'moshe v'aron b'mei mariva eino misfarsim b'kosu. It's not clear from the Pasuk. It's not 100% clear. Again, there's many indicators in the Pasuk. But it's not 100% clear what exactly they did wrong. Hashem just says, you didn't believe in me to sanctify me. What does that mean? Some say it was because they said, the rock is going to give water. Why don't you say, Hashem is going to give water? That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Chananel. There's many different shitas. V'harav Rabbeinu Moshe. He's referring, of course, to the Rambam. The Ramban quotes the Rambam in his Shmona Prakim, in the fourth parak. The Shmona Prakim is the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avos. So it's called Shmona Prakim because it has 8 prakim. So in the fourth parak of the Shmona Prakim, the Rambam says, Sabar Bosvar, he offers the following explanation. V'amar, ki Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Chatu, hu shenata letzad harag zonis. Moshe got angry. It was Moshe's anger that was the chait. And it was specifically what Moshe said in his anger. What did Moshe say in his moment of anger? Shimu na hamorim. Listen up, you rebels. Enough of you. Moshe says, I've had enough of you. Okay, Yoni, let me know. Listen up, you rebels. Listen up, you rebels. I checked it before, but I'm not. You can check. Shimu na hamorim. Listen up, you rebels. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu called B'nai Yisrael a bunch of rebels. Hashem's going to put you in your place once and for all. Stop complaining so much. You want water? I'm going to give you water. And as the Pasuk said, there was har b'mayim. There's plenty of water. But Moshe lost his cool. He got angry at Klal Yisrael and he called them rebels. Diktik alav Hashem Yisbach. So Hashem, okay, you got angry at my Klal Yisrael. I'm angry at you, says Hashem. Shei adam kamo kois lefnei adas b'nei Yisrael. B'makom she'ein ro'i bo kas. Moshe, you lost your cool in front of all of Klal. You gathered everyone together just to display your anger. Don't you know that Chazal say anger is like avodah zara? This is bad, Moshe. This is bad stuff. So Hashem was upset with Moshe, and Hashem says, okay, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. It's interesting. The Midah of Moshe Rabbeinu, if we have to pick one Midah that Moshe exemplifies, of course it's the Midah of Anava. And Anava is the opposite of anger. you remember, those have been around for a while, we learned when we were learning about different midos a while back, we spoke about the two midos that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos you need to be extreme about. Two character traits they have to distance yourself from completely. What are they? Kaas and Gaiva. And those two go hand in hand. Because the Baal Gaiva feels that he has a right to what? The Baal Gaiva feels that he has a right to get angry at other people. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in a moment of anger, really went against his very essence. Moshe's essence is humility. And Moshe Rabbeinu lost his cool here. And because of that, again, Lefi Madrigaso, Moshe Rabbeinu lost his right to take Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. What does the Ramban think about this approach? How does the Ramban like the Rambam? Not very much. V'hosif hevel al havalim. The Rambam's opinion is just another bad opinion amongst the many bad opinions that are out there about what went wrong with Moshe at the rock. Right? V'akosav lo sipra klal shekos. It doesn't say that Moshe got angry. Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen up, you rebels. Why are we suing Moshe? Said, listen up. I was screaming at them. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen up, you rebels. Maybe he said it very nicely. Maybe he's just giving mussar. Is there not a mitzvah to give mussar? Tochacha. What's wrong with tochacha? Kishimu nahamorim tochachas. It was a form of rebuke of Klal Yisrael. Kederech ma'amim ha'yisem im Hashem. In Devarim Parak Tes, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, from the time I met you Jews, you've been rebelling against Hashem. Does he get in trouble for that? Hashem doesn't respond to Moshe. Oh, how can you say the Jews are rebelling? Right? So apparently, says the Ramban, I don't think Shimon HaMorim was so egregious. It wasn't such a terrible avera. Who says he said it in an angry voice? He was giving them mussar. He was telling them that they're acting rebellious. Listen up, you rebels. He says it again in Devarim Parak Tes and gets away with it. Mamru Hayisim Im Hashem. You've been rebelling against God since I got to know you. So what was so bad? What was so bad about what Moshe said here? Can we defend the opinion of the Rambam? And the answer is yes. We can defend the opinion of the Rambam. Mechilas quote the Ramban. There are those who come to the defense of the Rambam. And that is by pointing to a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and a parallel Gemara in Maseches Nita. In Pirkei Avos it tells us, Rabbi Shimon Omer, be careful with Kriya Shema and Tefillah, make sure you daven, don't make your davening robotic. And then he tells us at the end of source number 10, Va'al tihi rasha bifnei atzmecha. Do not be wicked in your own eyes. Don't think lowly of yourself. Don't think of yourself as a rasha. Al tihi rasha bifnei atzmecha. Don't be a rasha in your eyes. The very obvious problem with this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is that there's a Gemara in Maseches Nida. And the Gemara Maseches Nida describes a child coming to this world. That when a baby is born, it says there's a ner dolek al rosho, there's a light over his head, and he's taught all of the Torah, four lines from the end of source number 11, umelamdan oso kol haTorah kula, and then when he comes to this world, the malach comes and he smacks him on the lip, and he forgets all of his Torah, right? And then he takes a shavua, and then he takes an oath. And what is the oath that we give this child while still emerging from his mother's womb? Tihi tzadik v'al tihi rasha. Be righteous and don't be wicked. V'afilu kol ha'olam kulo omer lecha tzadik ata. And even if the whole world tells you that you're a tzadik, hayyei be'enecha k'rasha. You should be in your eyes like a rasha. So hold on a second. Pirkei Avos tells me, al tihi rasha b'fnei atzmecha. Don't be a rasha in your eyes. And yet the Gemara Nida says, even if everyone tells you you're a tzaddik, even if you have good reason to believe you're a tzaddik, because that's the public opinion, right? An ish lafi mahalalo, it says in Mishlei, a person is according to what people say about him. So this guy has a reputation of a tzaddik. That's usually a decent indication that the person's a tzaddik. I mean, it could be he's the biggest charlatan ever, maybe. He's deceived everyone. Or maybe he's a tzaddik. That's why everyone says he's a tzaddik. Says the Gemara Nida, no, you should be a rush in your eyes. So should I see myself as good, or should I see myself as not good? Should I see myself as a tzaddik, or should I see myself as a rasha? And Rabbeinu Yonah in his commentary on Pirkei Avos solves it for us very simply. Rabbeinu Yonah says, in addressing this Gemara, in contrast to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Tiyeh be'einecha ki rasha velo rasha mamash. What's the difference between Pirkei Avos and the Gemara in Nida? The Gemara in Nida says, even if people tell you that you're a tzaddik, you should be like a rasha in your eyes. A Jew can never think that he is a rasha. but it's okay to see myself as like a Rasha. What does it mean I'm like a Rasha? It just means I'm very good, but there's things I could do better. But God forbid to label myself, to put a label on a person, and to say that the person is, to say a person is something. This is like, you know, basic parenting rules, the parenting books say. If your child does something wrong, you don't say your child is bad. You say you're doing a bad thing. You label the action as bad. You don't label the person as bad. And that's the difference between the Gemara Nida and the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos says, never allow yourself to see yourself truly as a Rasha. Don't label yourself as a Rasha. Kir Rasha is okay. Right? I do some things that are similar to a true Rasha, but I'm not a Rasha. God forbid to call me a Rasha. And that's the difference in answer to the Ramban. That's the difference between what? Between Shimu Nahamorim, listen up you rebels, labeling the Jewish people as rebels. Noun, you are a rebel. Versus what? Mamrim Hayisim Im Hashem. You are rebelling. You're doing an act which is rebellious. There's a big difference between the two. The chait of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he said about the essence of the Jewish people that they're bad. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. Because as we've learned before, the Avera never touches the core of a Jew. That's what Yaakov Avinu davened in last week's Parsha. Or he davened in Parsha's Vayechi, right? But it expressed itself in Parsha's Korach. That there's a pintle of Yid, that there's a Yisrael, Afal Pishachot the Yisrael who. There's a part of a Jew that's what? That's untouchable. That's never damaged. That Moshe Rabbeinu would say, you have become a rebel. He's redefined us as, yes, we do rebellious things. We make mistakes, 100%. But it never touches the core of who I am. And God forbid, when a person believes that it has touched the core of who he is, it becomes very difficult to do tshuva. And therefore, in Chodesh Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu is being openly rebuked by Hashem to remind us that we're not rebels. We sometimes do rebellious things. But you can always do tshuva because your core, your essence, remains pure. The Rambam says, what happens when a person thinks that they actually are a Rasha? What happens when I've heard too many times, not just that I'm, you know, I do bad things, but that I'm actually a bad person? What happens to me? Says the Rambam in Source 13 in this Parasha Mishnah on Pirkei Avos, when a person thinks of himself as a Rasha, when he views himself as Chasar Upachos, when he sees himself as what? As a person who's low, as a person who's lacking, as a person who's empty, so then you know what happens? Then doing Averis is not a big deal for him. Lo yigdal be'einav chisaron she'aseyu. Then the Averis that he does is not a big deal. Because after all, I'm the bad kid. I'm supposed to do bad things. One of my, I wouldn't call her a role model of mine, right? But a student of mine who's a great source of inspiration for me. When I first met this young woman, she said to me, years later, after having tried to encourage her to believe in herself for a long time, and Baruch Hashem, she's a frum woman with children living in Eretz Yisrael today, she said to me, Rebbe, you were one of the first people who ever said about me that, you know, that I'm not bad. She had a tough life, and she was always labeled as the bad girl, so she became the bad girl. That was the title she was supposed to be. Until someone was able to redefine her essence and say, you're not bad, you've done some bad things. And a lot of that's not your fault. It's the people around you who programmed you to think of yourself in that way. Says the Rambam, when you think of yourself as a lowlife, you do lowly things, and it's not a big deal because I'm a Rasha. But when I say, no, I'm a tzaddik, if that's my essence, I'm a Jew, I'm a neshama, I'm a piece of Hashem, I sometimes make mistakes, but that doesn't become my view of myself. That's not how I view my essence. And that's why it's so important. Yes, hayei be'enecha ki Rasha, but alti Rasha b'fnei atzimcha. And that was the mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Rambam. Shimu naha mor, Moshe labeled Klal Yisrael as bad people, and that's not okay. There's been a lot of discussion the last number of weeks. I'm sure many of us have at least heard about it. Rav Moshe Weinberger, my Rebbe, many people here in the room have Rav Weinberger, call Rav Weinberger the Rebbe, has been debating in the public sphere, right? This idea. To what degree is the Kadosh Baruch Hu love us ad hasof? No matter how many mistakes we make, to what degree will the Kadosh Baruch Hu give us another chance? And I think a lot of the critique against Rav Weinberger, there was a drasha given in this shul, last Shabbos, that was critical of his approach. And again, there's many ways to view things. I'm certainly respectful of the various voices in the conversation, as is Rav Weinberger. Right? But I think a lot of it's a misunderstanding of his approach and a lack of understanding of what Rav Weinberger stands for and what Chassidus presents, what Pnimiyas HaTorah presents. Let's just learn one Maharal together, which again will bolster that position that regardless of how many Averas we do, Tshuva is always within reach. And that's why Hashem always loves us. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to see the true potential of a Jew and not who we've become superficially. Writes the Maharal, and there's countless examples in the writings of the Maharal of Prague. And I'm not so fluent at all in the writings of the Maharal of Prague, and there are countless examples that even I could identify, although more so someone who really knows Maharal and has learned Maharal well. In the Netzach Yisrael, in Perek Memtes, just one small example. Kvar amarnu l'cha pa'amim harben. The Maharal himself says, I've mentioned it many times. She'kol chet shebi Yisrael hu mitzad ha-mikra. When a Jew does an Avera, that's not who I am. It's an accident. It's a mistake. What do you mean? Doesn't that throw off all the responsibility? Is that what the Maharal is advocating? I don't think that's what the Maharal is advocating. That a Jew can just do Averas and say, oops, it wasn't my fault. That's not what he's advocating. That's not what I'm advocating. That's not what Rav Weinberger is advocating. That's not what anyone is advocating. Right? But there's a part of a Chazal are advocating that ain't Adam over Avera, and kein nichlas bo ruach shtus. That when a Jew doesn't avail, that's not who he is. He's not thinking straight. That doesn't mean that there's no accountability. But it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to get caught up in that version of you because that's not who you are. V'ein chet mitzad etzem tzurasam. A Jew is not a rebel. A Jew cannot be viewed as a sinner at his essence. That's not your tzura. That's not the true formation of who you are. Af sheim chot mitzad mikra. Even if we do averos, again, by chance or somewhat by accident. Again, that's not the Maharal's way of taking away responsibility. But if we do averos, which are not really a true expression of who we are, Hashem understands that that's not who we are. Mikol makom mitzad etzem Yisrael heim tovim. The essence of the Jew forever remains pure. That's what Yaakov Avinu davened. That was the mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the lesson of Korach himself having the possibility of doing tshuva. All of the mistakes that we're reading in these parashios. Even Bilam HaRasha, in next week's parsha, he's trying to curse Klal Yisrael. He can't help but mentioning in the final source on the page, Lo Hibit Oven B'Yakov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to see past the averes of Klal Yisrael. So is Hashem cheating for us? Is Hashem absolving us of all responsibility? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not freeing us. There's averes in the Torah. There's punishment in the Torah. But there's also a very simple reality. And again, I challenge anyone to respond to the words of the Navi Malachi, Ahavti Aschem Amar Hashem. To which Klal Yisrael themselves say back to Hashem, really? Why do you love us so much? What about the fact that Yaakov is a brother Esav? And Hashem says, blanket statement, Ahavti Aschem Amar Hashem. I love you. Unconditional love. That doesn't mean we could do averos. That doesn't mean we could be casual about our avodas Hashem. It doesn't mean that Hashem is offering us the opportunity to live a carefree lifestyle and get away with it. It's not what it means. But it means there's an essence of a Jew, and then there's a superficial presentation of a Jew. I once saw a video, Rahman al-Islan, a video that was recorded in Eretz Yisrael, of a Jewish person, who was robbing a bank. Okay? Was robbing a bank. This video was going around. This fellow was robbing a bank, and as he's leaving the bank, he kissed the mezuzah. He goes back to kiss the mezuzah. So I'll ask you, right? A bank robber kissing a mezuzah? Whose team are you on? And the answer is, sometimes we do bad things. Sometimes we get ourselves into bad situations, right? And sometimes, even in those worst situations, the essence of my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu flares up. An expression of my emunah in Hashem at that moment. It's like the Gemara says, the Ein Yaakov in Brachos. It's not in the Gemara in Brachos, but it's quoted in the Ein Yaakov in Brachos, so it must have been an earlier Girsos of the Gemara. Right, that a Ganav, when he's at the entrance of the tunnel, he says Shema, he's Makabel Omach HaShemayim, he davens for success in his mission. A Ganav turns to Hashem, help me to steal. But yes, there's an inner core of a Jew. And therefore, these are parshios again that invite us to begin that process of tshuva. See yourself in the right way. Realize that the Avera doesn't touch that Nekuda of Yaakov Avinu. Don't allow yourself to be labeled by anyone else or by yourself, by your own assumptions. Shimuna Hamorim, that I am a rebel. Yeah. Bilam HaRasha, again in the final sources, Lohibit Oven V'Yakov. It's just, there's so much literature, Torah literature, Pnimius on that Pasuk. The Yismach Yisrael, next week's parsha, beautiful explanation of Lohibit Oven B'Yakov, how Hashem doesn't look to the Avera of Yaakov. He sees the essence of the Jew as being pure and untainted. So I'll just end with the final 2 points, and that is an explanation of a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says in Source 15, Ya'azov Rasha Darko. We recognize this pasuk from the Kriya Satorah, from the Haftorah of a public fast day, Vatana Sibur. Ya'azov Rasha Darko, V'ish Oven Machshavosav. The Rasha should abandon his way. So again, the Rebbe of Alexander in Source 16 quotes from one of the earlier tzaddikim of Alexander, and he says, I don't understand. Does a Rasha have a derech? Ya'azov Rasha Darko. The Rasha should abandon his derech. Rishon don't have a derech. Tzaddikim have a derech. A tzaddik has a derech. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a very precise daily schedule. Rav Yashiv Zatzal had a derech. Tzaddikim have a derech. A derech in Avodas Hashem. A derech halimud. Right? Tzaddikim have a derech. They're organized. They do things in the right way. A Rasha, part of what makes a Rasha is that he doesn't have a derech. He's haphazard about how he lives his life. He's carefree. So what does it mean the Rasha should abandon his derech? A Rasha doesn't have a derech. Explains the Yismach Yisrael in the back of the Sefer, the section Ma'oran Shal Yisrael. He quotes from the Admor HaZakin from Alexander. What does it mean the Rasha should abandon his derech? He should abandon the thought that he's a Rasha. The derech of the Rasha is that he's allowed himself to be labeled a Rasha. That's his derech. If there's one thing he knows about himself is that he's a bad guy. We say to the Rasha, you're not a Rasha. Stop labeling yourself as a Rasha. Yazov Rasha Darko. Kir Rasha, as we learned in the Gemara Nida, that's okay. We're all Kir Rasha. We all make mistakes. But not to, God forbid, label a Jew. That's the message of Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, that's the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu. And this is a tremendous, I think, presentation of Chizuk as we begin this tshuva process of Chodesh Tammuz. Again, Tammuz being Rashi Tevos. Tammuz being Rashi Tevos. Zmani tshuva Masha Shenubam. These are days of tshuva. As again, the Pnei Menachem said, did you receive the invitation? It's a time to start preparing ourselves for the Yom Noram. So, Mirtza Hashem, we should see ourselves in the right way. I thank everyone for those who came out throughout the course of the year to continue to learn together. I look forward to Mirtza Hashem to continuing at the end of the summer with a whole series on Inyanei Tshuva. But Mirtza Hashem, we should see ourselves in the right way. We should know what's Mikra and what's Etzem. And the essence of a Jew is very pure. Hashem knows that to be true. And halavai, we should know it to be true and return to Hashem with a tshuva shlema and b'lev shalem. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos. Mincha begins in 3 minutes.